Open first to Mark chapter 9. This is another one of those sermons where God shows me something in the Old Testament and He says, you know, let me use this to teach you. Let me show you what this can represent in your life today. Well, in Mark chapter 9, we'll just start here in verse 14. Jesus had been on the Mount of Transfiguration. And when He came to His disciples, He saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld Him, were greatly amazed and running to Him, saluted Him. And He asked the scribes, what question ye with them? One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples and that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Man, you got to have confidence, you know. Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. So by that, you know that this person, this son, is not a child any longer. You know, I mean, he's at least, you know, close to 20 years old by now. He says, of a child. And oft times hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. I mean, that kid was laid out. You know, that young man was laid out on the ground. They think this guy's dead. If they'd had a nurse there, if this were today, you know, they'd have medical people checking him out. Somebody probably grabbed a cell phone and called 911. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And we're going to stop right there. The reason we're going to stop right there is because a lot of people don't care what the rest of the story is. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Because Jesus tells you the problem. Over in Matthew, he says, because you lack of faith. But he says the problem, most people, they read the rest of it, but it doesn't click. They just stop right here. Why could not we cast him out? So what do we have? We have a devil that's manifesting through a young man, what we might today call like epilepsy. You know, I mean, that might be what it looks like when he would go into these seizures. And so these guys, and just to kind of recap, Jesus had already sent the 12 out two by two, and they had gone into different cities, and they had healed the sick and, you know, cleansed the lepers and so on and so forth and raised the dead and cast out devils and all this other. Then right after that, he sent out the 70. And the 70 went out, and people are being healed, and devils are subject to them in the name of Jesus. And they come back rejoicing, and but you know, it's great. Just it's like revival, great testimony time. Well, now all of a sudden they can't do it, and this has them kind of confused because they've done it before, and so they want to know, well, why couldn't we cast him out? Now let me show you another passage for teaching purposes. Okay. Turn over to Acts chapter 19. And in verse 11 it says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Now listen, if there's any testimony that you'd want to have in your life, is that the evil spirits know who you are. I mean, God already knows who you are. You see what I mean here? So this evil spirit says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. You know, if they'd had a video camera back then, if they had just had a video camera, you're looking at the $100,000 winner of America's Funniest Home Videos. Now, the reason I wanted to get to this story here is not just because it's another story of casting out a devil, but it's another story of people who believed they could do something. See that? Now, I know they were vagabond Jews and exorcists and so forth. I understand that. Well, we don't want to focus on that. What we want to focus on is that these guys believed they could do this. They were convinced they could cast this devil out by Jesus, whom Paul preaches, all right? Now, if they didn't believe it, they wouldn't have tried it. They tried it. Obviously, it failed. Now, we've read these two stories to bring up what really is a puzzling situation in the lives of many Christians, and that is, I prayed for Joe. Joe got healed. Then I prayed for Susie, and Susie didn't get healed. Then I prayed for Bob, and Bob got healed. Then I prayed for Ruth, and Ruth didn't get healed. So I'm thinking, well, maybe it's something with women. Well, then I prayed for Karen, but Karen got healed. And I prayed for Sam, but Sam didn't get healed. So now I realize it has nothing to do with gender. But I don't know what the problem is. Because I did pray and get these people healed, but these other people didn't. And I know that all of you have probably wondered about the same things. Even if nobody has ever gotten healed that you prayed for, you still wondered about that. Well, we took him to the pastor. Pastor prayed. You know, half the prayer line got healed, the other half didn't. I don't understand this. What's going on? And then the service is over. A lot of pastors sit back and scratch their heads, wondering, half of them got healed, half of them didn't. Don't understand this. What's going on? Well, I want to show you something in the Old Testament that will illustrate what is going on here. So we turn back to Joshua chapter 1. And I found this really interesting as the Lord was sharing this with me. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now we'll stop right there. We could read some more, but stop right at this point. Now here's what this represents, what the Lord showed me. This represents the people today now, okay, Christians today, us, coming together in church, and the preacher stands up and he begins to preach. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The Father seated him next to his own right hand, and we are seated with him in those heavenly places. Jesus made a show of the devils openly, and you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And on it goes. You see what I'm saying? We hear those sermons. And we think, wow, man, this is great. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we hear about our inheritance, and we heal about, you know, our power and our authority and all of these things. We hear about this, and the preacher does a great job in delivering it. No fluff. I mean, it's truth. And we're motivated by that. We think, well, this is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. However, we're not satisfied with that. You say, well, why not? Because we shouldn't be. Just because the man stood up and said it, that shouldn't be enough for us. And by golly, it's not. We're smarter than that. So what we do is we look over in chapter 2. Now look here in verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came unto a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now jump to verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now you got to remember this thing about Egypt, the Red Sea, that was 40 years ago. They've wandered 40 years in the wilderness. So she's talking about 40 years later, we are still talking about what happened way back then. Now, what does this represent to us? It represents to us what happened when Paul was preaching in Berea, over there in Acts chapter 17. And it says, it talks about how the Bereans heard Paul preach, but that wasn't good enough for them. Even if they had seen miracles, that still wasn't good enough for them. They heard Paul preach, they heard Paul teach. However, they searched the scriptures daily to see if the things Paul was saying were true. This, what we've just read here in chapter 2, represents searching the scriptures daily. In other words, God told Joshua, here's what it is. Here's the story. Here's what you've inherited. Here's everything that I've given to you. Now, the land is yours. So the land is theirs. Joshua's heard the story, yet he sends the spies in to search it out. And the spies go in. And when the spies get there, they realize, hey, this is true. We searched these things out, and it's happened. God's given all this, just like they said. So Joshua had heard this word from the Lord, and yet he sent the spies in to spy out the land, to search things out, did he not? Okay, again, this represents us not simply being satisfied with what the preacher tells us, but making a decision to search the scriptures to see if these things be so. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but as many times as I've said, don't just take my word for it. Get in, search the scriptures, pray about it, and so on and so. You know, how many of you have done that? Well, anyway, look in chapter 3. So we search the scriptures, and we begin to find out, boy, you know what? That preacher was right. I mean, not only was he showing us from the word what he showed us, but we found other scriptures that support what he says. You know, we prayed about these things, and he's right. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are seated in those heavenly places. We do have this authority. We are more than conquerors. God has given us the victory. We're the head and not the tail, and on it goes. And praise God, you know, we've searched it out, and we know this, not just because the preacher said it, but because now we've seen it in the Word of God. Well, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Now jump to verse 13. And Joshua speaking to them, he says, it'll come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off. From the waters that come down from above, they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, And the feet of the priests that bear the ark dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed right over right against Jericho, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Okay, now what does this represent? Well, what this represents is that we've made a decision to walk by faith, not by sight. The preacher stood up and he preached it, but we weren't satisfied. We made a decision to be like the minority of believers and search the scriptures to see if these things were true. And then once we search the scriptures and we find out that what the preacher told us is true, we make a decision. Bless God, not only did the preacher say it, but now I've got more witnesses from the Word of God. I'm going to live it. We take a step of faith. We say, I'm going to live this way. I'm not going to live by what I see. I'm not going to be moved by the things around me. I'm not going to be moved by the waters that are at flood stage. I'm going to decide right here and right now, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to live by these things that the preacher showed me and that I have seen for myself in the Word of God. So we make this decision to walk by faith. We'll look over in chapter 4. In verse 1, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. All right, what does this mean? I mean, this represents a demonstrated commitment to serve God. I've heard the Word. I've searched the Scriptures. I've made a decision to walk by faith. But it's a decision that is going to be demonstrated to others. The stones of my commitment will be set forth for all to see. Are you getting this? In other words, I'm not going to just live by faith on Sundays when I'm around all my brothers and sisters in Christ. I've decided that my life, day in and day out, week in and week out, is going to be fully committed to living for God. And the people around me are going to see this. The people on the job, the people in the grocery store, the people that, you know, wherever, they're going to see this as I live it. Just like the people would see those stones and they'd say, well, what do those stones represent? They represent what God's done in my life. Well, why do you live this way? Why do you act that way? Why do you talk that way? Why don't you laugh at these kinds of jokes? And I mean, on and on it goes. Here's why. It's because of what God has done in my life. And I know it's true. Well, look over in chapter 5. In verse 2, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Or in other words, circumcise all the men who have yet to be circumcised. Verse 8, and it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole or healed. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Okay, well, what does that represent? What it represents is this. We've heard the preacher. We searched the Scriptures. We made a decision. We're going to walk by faith, not by sight. We are committing our lives openly unto God. And because of what the preacher was teaching us and what we've seen in Scripture, we realize that in order for me to walk the path of Christ that's been set before me, I've got to get all the crud out of my life. So I begin circumcising my life through prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Everything that would hinder a flow of God's anointing in my life, I begin committing myself over to times of the Word, times of confession and meditation, times of praying in the Spirit and so forth, because I want to be what Jesus said I can be. I want to be what that preacher described from Scripture. I want to be what Scripture, what I saw in Scripture about me. I want this for my life. So I have to be the one to take the sharp stone of prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word to begin cutting all of this stuff away, to roll the reproach of issues away from my life so that I can be everything that God wants me to be. Now look in chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Now jump over to verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And so the people began to shout, and jump over to verse 20. So the people shouted, and the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in that city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. You say, well, what does this represent? This represents, after we've done all this stuff up to this point, we begin to minister and things begin to happen. We come up against somebody. Okay, here, we come up against somebody that has a Jericho of a sickness in their life. Emphysema. Cancer. I don't care. Pick something. And I mean, it looks like this Jericho of a sickness is insurmountable. The doctors have said there's no hope because this Jericho is shut up and there's no medicine that we can give that will have an impact on it. There's nothing we can do. But we know different. We know different because we heard the preacher and we studied the Word and we knew, we just knew that these things were true. Made a commitment to walk by faith and not by sight. So the doctor's report of an incurable Jericho in this person means nothing to us. Bless God, I know better. It may be there now, but I'm telling you, it won't be when I'm done. And so we've spent time with the Lord, prayer, fasting, worship, the Word, all these things. And then we go over to this person. We lay our hands on them. And we say, in the name of Jesus, you Jericho of cancer, fall. Go. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And then, just like where it says here in verse 21, that it was utterly destroyed, both man, woman, young, old, ox, sheep, ass, all of it, everything in there. Every cancer cell is destroyed in that person's body. Everything. And I mean they are totally and completely healed. And the only thing that was left of Jericho was a smoldering pile of rubble. That was it. The only thing left of the cancer is a clean x-ray. It's not there anymore. And the doctors are scratching their heads. How can this be? Just like other people would have scratched their heads. How in the world could this ragtag bunch over here have conquered Jericho, a walled city? But it worked. Now let me ask you something. Are we feeling pretty good right about now? And we're guarding ourselves now. We're not getting into pride. Because we know Jesus is the healer. We know He's the one. Without Him, this would have never happened. And we know that. So we're not taking the glory. We're giving Him the glory for working through us to bring this about. And so, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. Man, this is wonderful. Well, look in chapter 7. And just begin reading here in verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up, view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Sherebam, and smote them in going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Now stop right there. What's happened? Well, last week we prayed for a Jericho of cancer, an insurmountable problem, a walled city. We prayed for something the doctor said could not be healed. And when we did, glory to God, they were healed. And then here comes somebody with a cold. And we pray for them. And we expect victory. Just like they expected victory here. If they hadn't expected victory, they'd have never gone into battle. They expected it. And we expect this cold. I mean, bless God, man. Cold compared to cancer? Give me a break. I mean, I prayed for them. Cancer got healed. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, I know this cold is going to be dealt with. In Jesus' name, cold, you leave. I call you healed, sir, in the name of Jesus. And you know, that was Sunday. Come Wednesday, they're asking for somebody else to pray for them. And you think, whoa, hold on here. God, I don't understand this. What's going on? I mean, I prayed for this person and the cancer completely disappeared from their bodies. And now I pray for this person over here and it's a cold, God. What's wrong? Why isn't it working now? I mean, if there's enough power flowing through me that can get this cancer healed, there's got to be enough power flowing through me to get this cold healed. See what I mean? And what we're actually doing is wondering if God's holding back on us. I mean, hey, if He's got power flowing through me to heal cancer over here, then that should be plenty enough power to heal cold over here. So, God, what'd you do? Did you kind of like shut down? I mean, what's going on here? Which is exactly what Joshua is saying here to God. He's saying, oh, Lord, what shall I say? God, why did you do this? You know, the Canaanites are going to cut us off. Cut our name off. And then what will you do under thy great name? And so, I mean, he's basically asking God, oh, what's the problem? They're throwing dust all over their heads, ripping their clothes up and so forth. God, why did you do this? God, why did you do this? He's got questions. Just like those guys over there in the New Testament, why couldn't we get him healed? Same thing. Why couldn't we get him healed? Why, God, did you fail me? And that's what we think many times. Well, look what God says in verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Now, if you want to know what he's talking about, look back over in Joshua chapter 6. And look here in verse 16. This is before they invaded Jericho. In verse 16 it talks about, when the trumpets blow, give the shout. In verse 17 it says, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So now, what's he saying? He's saying everything, every, speck of gold and silver, all the brass, all everything, all this stuff belongs to God. All of it. And if you take any of it for your own, you're going to be accursed. Well, Joshua was fussing and complaining. God, why'd you fail me? God, why'd you let me down? Why'd you do it this time and not the next time? Why, God? Why? And God says, get up off your face. Listen to me. Israel has sinned and transgressed my covenant. They've taken of the accursed thing and put it among their own stuff. Meaning, somebody's done something wrong. And that somebody that did that something wrong has led to the death of 36 men. And not only led to the death of 36 men, but they can't conquer a city which they should be able to conquer. After this major victory against Jericho, they should be able to deal with this cold. They just defeated cancer, but they should be able to deal with it. And now they find they can't. And God says, well, I'll tell you why you can't. Number one, stop your weeping and wailing and playing in the dirt. Sit up and listen to me. It's because there's a problem in your midst. Israel's taken of the accursed thing. Well, look in chapter 7, verse 12. Because basically what God was telling him is, you're not ready for Ai. Or, you're not ready for the cold. You're not ready for it. You see, let me ask you a question. What do you think is harder for God, to heal cancer or heal a cold? Listen, anybody who can speak a universe into existence, trust me, cancer, cold, doesn't matter. It's no big deal to them. Well, in chapter 7, verse 12, therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore. Look here. Neither will I be with you anymore. Would that concern you if God said something like that to you? Except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. Now take a look, beginning here in verse 14, what they're going to do to deal with this. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of Zerites, and he brought the family of the Zerites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the son of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Now look here. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Now stop right there. Now look at this. Let me ask you, what is one Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold that weighs 50 shekels? What's that compared to everything that was in that city? Now, you have to understand, well, you know, 50 shekels of silver and, you know, the gold, and that might have been a whole lot. Couldn't have been a whole lot because the guy hid it. You understand what I'm saying? He was able to hide it and it not make a bunch of clinking, clanging sound so he could get it back. I mean, he stuffed the garment, you know, and hid the gold and the silver and took it back with him. So it couldn't have been that bulky and that big. Or somebody would have said, put on some weight there, haven't you, Achan? It couldn't have been that big. So, and he gets it back to his tent and, you know, lifts up the floor of the tent, digs a hole in the dirt and buries it. Okay? And then smooths out the dirt and the floor of the tent, and there it is. What is that compared to everything that was in Jericho? It's not that big of a deal. At least, not to us. But it was to God. Because God said, you can't take any of it. None of it. Well, it sounds to us like God's making a mountain out of a molehill. But He's not. God said, you can't have any of this stuff in your life. Now, what do you think that means to us? We pray for somebody, and that cancer gets healed. In our minds, cancer is bigger than a cold. To God, no, neither one are that big of a deal. Not when you're creating universes with a word. So, cancer, cold, to me, healing's healing. Yeah. You did all this stuff to get to the place to where you were able to win the victory over the Jericho of cancer. In your minds, that cancer was a tougher thing to conquer than this cold. But you don't see it the way I see it. So in your mind, you're trying to figure out, why can't you get this cold healed? Get this person healed of this cold. It's because you've got a Babylonish garment, 50 shekels of gold, 200 shekels of silver in your life, buried where nobody else can see it. But I know it's there. Are you guys catching on? And until you deal with that Babylonish garment, the 200 shekels of silver and the 50 shekels of gold in your life, whatever that represents to us, you'll not go further in an anointing to heal even that cold that that person is dealing with. See this? Now, same chapter, look in verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran into the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua, with all Israel with him, took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. Because if they hadn't stopped, this would have been a really long verse. So he just sums it up, and all that he had, and brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? And the Lord shall trouble thee this day. Now look at this. And all Israel stoned him with stones, everything that he had, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. I mean, it wasn't enough to just stone them, but they stoned them, burned everything, and then they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. What does that mean to us? Even though we think something might be a small matter in our lives, if God's saying you've got to dig it out and purge it, you're never going to go to the next level. Then we've got to dig it out and purge it so we can get to that next level. See that? They'd have never beaten, they'd still be today trying to figure out how to beat AI. And God said, you've got a problem in your midst. One man. Now his wife and kids didn't go with him to do this. One man. One man. One, let's just say it like this. Out of the thousands and thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of Israelites that were there at that time, One man with one act stopped the progress of the entire nation. Out of all the wealth of Jericho, all of it, just 200 shekels of silver, big deal. One little wedge of gold, 50 shekels, and one garment, it's not that big of a deal. God, I don't understand it. Gary Carpenter tells the story, and I can share this publicly because he has, and it's been recorded many times. For years, Gary smoked, and he just struggled with it. And one day the Lord told him, said, look, if I'm going to take you any further than where you are right now, you're going to have to stop smoking, because where I want to take you, they will never accept you if you're still smoking. Well, couldn't he do it around back of the building? Yeah, but they'd smell it on him. I mean, out of everything in Gary's life, everything. And I'm not saying he had sin in his life, don't misunderstand me. But out of all of everything in Gary's life, didn't matter what it was, this one thing. See, there are a lot of Christians today, and I'm not just singling out smoking, but there are a lot of Christians today that don't think smoking is that big of a deal. But could smoking be the Babylonish garment in your life? Could it? Could your attitude toward your neighbor be the Babylonish garment in your life? Your attitude toward the president, could that be the Babylonish garment in your life? You read an article in the paper about somebody that did something. How do you know your attitude toward that? I mean, what? I don't know what it could be. Could it be, you don't think it's that big of a deal when you're eating out at a restaurant to have a glass of wine with your dinner. But could that be the 50 shekels of gold in your life? You don't think it's that big of a deal? And listen, I'm sure that out of the entire population of Israel, somebody probably thought, wait a minute, you're telling me that we got whooped by these people from Ai because of that little bit of silver and that little thing of gold and that one robe right there? That's it? That's it. That's why we were stopped and beaten. And Joshua says, yeah, this is it. But it's not that big of a deal. And Joshua says, but it is a big deal to God. Well, all right, then take it and put it in the temple. Joshua says, it's not that simple. Because there's something in Achan that's going to be a problem from this day forward. He heard the word of the Lord. He refused to obey. And he was part of a major victory, but still held on to compromise. And that is going to cause a problem for us the rest of this day. All right, well, Joshua, let me get this straight. So we have to kill him and everything about him, everything related to him and this incident. We have to destroy it all. He says, yes, we stone, we burn, and we bury in stones. As a reminder. Now see, so many times today, for us, we don't think of it like that. Oh, these movies I'm watching, they're not that big of a deal, but those movies you're watching could be the 200 shekels of silver in your life keeping you from going to the next level. I mean, we could go down the whole list. And notice I haven't mentioned one thing about the length of your hair or the jewelry or the makeup, all right? But there are so many things that we might think are no big of a deal. It's just not that big of a deal. It's not hurting anybody. But yet, it may be keeping Mr. Cold over here from being healed. Or this child over here from being healed. Or this next person from being delivered. Or this devil from being cast out over here. We think it's insignificant, but to God, this is a major deal. And so everything related to this garment, the silver, the gold, everything. I mean, even Achan's tent had to be burned up. What does that mean? That means if God begins revealing to us a Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver and 50 shekels of gold in our own lives, we have to deal with it, all of it. There can be nothing left of it. You know, let me give you an example. I've heard people say things like, Well, if you've got a problem with pornography on the computer, then you need to get rid of the computer. That didn't solve the problem. The problem is, it's not the computer that's looking for the pornography, it's you. So, now you might need to separate yourself from the computer for a period of time. But to take a stick of dynamite and blow the thing up is not the answer. Because the reason you're looking for the pornography is on the inside of you. That's where it needs to be purged. Just like all that stuff was buried under the tent, you've got to start digging around inside under the tent, if you will, to get this stuff out. Because if we don't, then it's going to keep us from going to the next level. All right, let's see what happened then. They've dealt with this. They got rid of Achan and his family and everything that was involved with him. And so in chapter 8, in verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." Now, why would Joshua be dismayed? Because of what they just had to do. See, the emotions of having to get rid of your Babylonish garment can tear you apart. Because for some people, the Babylonish garment is a relationship in their life. Don't go home and tell your spouse,
"Well, Randy Larson, because you're a Babylonish garment in my life, don't do this."
You know better than that. It could be, you know what I'm saying, relationships, you know, with other people and so forth. It could be, and if you're a single person, you know, that 50 shekels of gold could be the person you're dating. And so there can be emotions tied to destroying everything related to your Babylonish garment. And the Lord says unto Joshua, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Arise and go up into Ai." Now look at this. "See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land." A few moments ago, God said, "I'm not with you anymore." Well, now that he's obeyed God and gotten rid of the Babylonish garment, if you will, God says, "Okay, now I'm with you. And not only am I with you, but this next person with the cold is going to be healed. Your Ai is going to be destroyed." And he says, "And thou shalt do," verse 2, "unto Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it." Now we won't go through and read all of this. But what happened? Joshua got the people together. And he says, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to act like, you know, a bunch of us are going to act like we're attacking the city. And as we start to attack, their warriors are going to come out. And we're going to act like we're scared. And we're going to turn and we're going to run. And they're going to start chasing us. Well, when they do, you bunch over here, invade the city, kill everything, set it on fire. And then when the warriors from Ai turn and see what's happening, they'll get scared. And then we'll turn and attack them, and then you guys charge out of the city. We'll have them trapped in between us, and we'll wipe them out. So they had the plan. Now, here's the thing I want to share with you. Not only did God say, "I'm with you," God gave them the plan for the victory. Until then, they didn't have the plan. Until then, they didn't know what to do. Is the Babylonish garment in your life keeping you from receiving instructions from God for the next level of your calling? The next level of your ministry? And the thing is, the Babylonish garment, the 200 shekels of silver, the 50 shekels of gold in and of themselves were not sin. Okay? You need to understand that. It's how they were acquired. That was the sin. Likewise, there may be some things in your life that are the Babylonish garment and the silver and the gold in and of themselves. They're not sin. See what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be pornography on the computer. It just might be too much time on the computer. You know, searching the internet for this, that, and the other. That could be your 200 shekels of silver. Is this making sense? It's whatever is keeping you from this next level. And it's how God sees it. It's not how we perceive it. So they dealt with this. And when they did, God said, okay, now I'm with you. Not only am I with you, but you're going to get victory. It's going to be a major victory. And I'm going to give you the plan on how to carry it out. Hallelujah. Now, if you jump ahead here to verse 28, they win the victory. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide, and as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth to this day. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. What does that represent? They got the plan. They got the victory. But they gave the glory to God. They gave the glory to God. Oh yeah, they went in with their own swords and spears and bows and arrows and so forth, but they gave the glory to God. And then if you read this from this point on, you begin to see how that, you know, they continued to win more and more victories. And the point I'm trying to make is this. We've seen tonight a type and a shadow of why many times we pray the cancer gets healed, but the cold doesn't. To us, there's a difference. To God, there is no difference. Jesus said, when the disciples came to him, well, first off, the man brought his son. And the man says, can you get him healed? And Jesus says, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the disciples came and they said, how come we couldn't cast him out? And Jesus says, because of your unbelief. Well, I got the cancer taken care of. Got that person healed of cancer, but why couldn't I get that person healed of that cold? Because there's a Babylonish garment inside you that's hindering your faith. It's interfering with your belief. It's hindering the flow of my anointing. In your mind, you believe. But until you get those shekels of silver, the shekels of gold, and the Babylonish garment out of the way so that the faith and the anointing can rise up and flow through, you're not going to get that cold healed. You're not going to get that devil cast out. You're not going to get this thing straightened out and so on and so forth. The insignificant AIs in your life will continue to stop you in your tracks. Now look. You can sit there and think, well, he's really stomping on my toes tonight. But you need to understand, I'm stomping on my own toes tonight. Because I prayed for some. Listen, I prayed for people. I prayed for people. And cancer has disappeared in their bodies. Gone. They go back to the doctor and the cancer is gone. No trace of it whatsoever. And then I prayed for people that have strained backs. Their muscles are a little twisted or whatever. And they still walk out like this. And I'm thinking, man, I'm smart enough now to know better than to ask, what's the deal? Because I know what the deal is. The deal is I've got to get the Babylonish garment, the shekels of silver, the shekels of gold out of my life. I got to dig these things out from under my tent so that God's anointing and power can flow, so that my faith will be what it is, so that I won't be operating part of the time at a certain level of belief, but not able to go to the next level. So yeah, I'm stomping on my own toes tonight. I guess we're all in this, aren't we? And you know, the truth is, this is a hard thing for a lot of people to accept, because when we're like Israel, well, but we defeated Jericho. I mean, everything ought to work now. It's just not that simple. And a lot of people don't want to hear, well, I've got a Babylonish garment in my life. I've got shekels of gold and silver in my life. I've got unbelief. A lot of people don't want to hear that. But you know, Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. I'm sorry, I can't get away from that. That applies to me. So for me personally, speaking for me, you know, I'm going to have to start digging around, doing what I need to do spiritually to get the garments. I hope there's only one. Hallelujah. I hope it's only 50 shekels of gold. I hope I only have to dig a short shallow little hole in my life, to get this stuff out. But I got a feeling once I start digging, it's going to get deeper. Pastor, how's it going down there? But I know this. God's Word is true. And I can get to that place to where not only the cancers, but the colds and anything else that comes up will be dealt with in the same way that Jesus would deal with it.